Well, this is our prophetic update, an annual event at Terra Bible Church, where we take the day to look at the issue of biblical prophecy, in particular in terms of how it relates to current events. And so in our Sunday school hour, I gave our grid for thinking about biblical prophecy and laid out some of the themes that will be the backbone to what we will be looking at in the coming next two services. As I mentioned earlier this morning, and to remind again that this all came out of my listening to some sermons on as a young church in the Sundays, I would listen to Dr. W.A. Criswell on the radio, and he would want, even the beginning of the year, he would always do a State of the Church address, like a State of the Union address. And I derive from that, well, since we're kind of a small church, our state is kind of small, but I would do a State of the World address. And I'm sure world leaders would be knocking at our door looking for our insights. But the more I thought about it, let's look at it maybe from a biblical perspective. And so what are the things as we look at the events in the world around us, what are some of the things that are consistent with end time events? The end times are described in some detail in the biblical record as our Lord tells us what's coming. Well, we might look at those things and say, okay, for example, if the Bible says there's going to be a temple, the temple of the Jews in Jerusalem during the last 7-year period, what evidence do we see of that? Does it exist now? Is there any effort towards building it? We'll talk about that. And so as we look at some things and say, this is the way things will be in the end times, what do we see in the news that looks like that? Now, just to put in perspective, the first times I did these series, my pages were probably 20, 30 pages of notes where I would copy out articles that I saw in the various periodicals of the time and kind of wove them together. Slowly it grew to two services just to get through the events. And we will do this in two services today too, but it might terrify you. I copy into my notes the entire article, and some of them are lengthy. But as of this morning, I have about 350 pages worth of notes. So I'm going to read all of that. No, I just put that in because I like to have my material to support what I'm saying where I can point to that. What I usually like to do is later on, if you will contact us or write at our website, we will have links where I will have not that 350-page document, but a document that will have my outline, as we're going through today, with hyperlinks to the articles that I'm talking about. And so I won't have the full articles, but links to them, and I'll even warn you, perhaps some of those have already died. You know how that is with links. But having said that, let's begin. The Bible says that in the end times, we have some things we can look at. Matthew 24, 32 to 33 says, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and has put forth leaf, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things, know that it is near at the doors." Verse 36, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And so our Lord was saying, you should be able to read the signs of the times. We don't know the hour. We don't know the specifics of when our Lord's going to return. But on the other hand, we're not to be ignorant of the seasons around us. And so that's what's before us as we're looking at the events of the news as well. So having said that, I like to read what John Newton said. Spurgeon said this, "I read the newspaper," said John Newton, "that I may see how my Heavenly Father governs the world." And so as we look at the news, don't just look at it for how is the market doing and my investments, how's my team doing, and how badly are the Cowboys losing this week, you know. But there's more to life than that. Rather, what is God doing? What is God? Do I look? Can I see God's hand? And of course, that's best discerned by looking at the Scripture. Well, in Daniel chapter 9. We're told that when this Antichrist figure comes along, he will make a peace treaty. He will make a covenant of peace that will last for a full 7 years. and beginning the peace, then he will distort that peace by the midpoint of that time. But the tribulation period of the end times begins with a peace treaty that's related to the Middle East. And so one of the things I like to notice in the news is the events that point to the world's interest in peace in the Middle East. And just some of the things I saw in the West Bank, Netanyahu tells Trump officials he'll give the peace plan a fair shake. And so and I've got a picture in my notes here of the various ones meeting where Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel is meeting with American leaders. President Trump says he has a peace plan, and he wants to reveal it. And Prime Minister Netanyahu says, "Well, we'll give it a fair shake. We'll listen to it." My second point there is the U.S. Embassy in Israel releases security alert after Soleimani's strike. You are aware that just last week, the United States had a military strike which killed a Iranian leader. He was the head of the Quds military force, which is sort of a half special forces, half paramilitary, all terrorist organization. Interesting, the word Quds force means literally the Jerusalem force. Now, the whole point is they want to take Jerusalem. Well, the leader of that was killed. He's been responsible for the death of hundreds of Americans, the sufferings of many Iranians. But all that to say, so that put out a word from our U.S. Embassy saying, pay attention, be alert, difficult times are upon us. Then also one of our representatives, Berkowitz here, went to see Avi Berkowitz, who's assistant to the president, again, dealing with Israel, and he went to talk over things. His assistant to the president, Berkowitz, met with Prime Minister Netanyahu at his residence, again, to discuss Trump's administration's peace plan. So there's that growing, and then actually in my next point as well, I've got a couple. Netanyahu and Israeli ties advance, but full peace is unattainable now. And so they're continuing to work on relationships in the Middle East, but it continues to be a difficulty. But there's a desire in the world for peace. The U.S.-led Warsaw Summit that gathered 60 countries, including from the Arab world, to talk about challenges in the Middle East region with a focus on Iran. And this is back in February. So back in February, you have 60 nations gathering. How do we make world peace happen? How do we deal with the problem of Iran? And then the head of the Palestinian Authority, Abbas, he's trying to undo efforts. He's concerned that this peace plan won't go well for his organization, and so he's struggling against it. My point is, the Bible says that this Antichrist figure will come and he'll bring world peace. That'll make him a hero. He's going to figure out how to bring all these people together and actually settle things down, so much so that they can build a temple and have sacrifices and there'll be peace in the world. That will be very impressive. But what I see in the news is there's a constant longing for exactly that, for peace, and are wondering who can make it happen. Now, speaking of that, my next point you'll notice is it says, Putin prayed for the building of the third temple. I need to step back and say, the third temple, what do you mean? The first temple was built by Solomon. So they had a tabernacle that God established for the Israelis to worship in after they left Egypt. But they didn't actually have a building, a temple, until the time of Solomon. That was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 B.C. It was rebuilt with the permission of the Persian emperor or king Cyrus. That was the second temple. It was greatly remodeled by Herod the Great, but that was still the second temple. So we often talk about the second temple period. That's the time frame in which Jesus lived. That temple was destroyed in A.D. 70 by the Romans. The third temple is the temple yet to be built that will be in the tribulation period. And we're told, in this article, it said the Sanhedrin, which is a group of Jewish leaders who want to be like a predecessor to a Sanhedrin as was in the time of Jesus. 70 Jewish leaders who govern and judge the land. Well, this group that's already forming specifically asked Presidents Putin and Trump to build the third temple in Jerusalem. So they're calling on these two, the Russian and American leaders, to build the third temple. This article was at the time he was President-elect Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin. They wanted them to work together to help build the temple. You see that? World peace, unity, build the temple. See, they're saying that's the model, and someone's going to come along in the future and do exactly that. World peace and unity, let's build the temple. What's really interesting is that at the time, Mr. Putin said that he was already praying for the temple. He went and visited Jerusalem. He went to the Western Wall. Someone called out to him and said, Mr. Putin, build the temple. And he said, that's exactly why I'm here, to pray for the temple to be rebuilt. So not just Israel, you've got the leader of Russia saying, we want to rebuild the temple. So you see that interesting here. Then my next article, foxes seen near the temple. In some Israeli news, the Bible says foxes will be in the temple as a sign of its destruction. So some look at that and say, look, the Bible says there will be foxes in the temple grounds after it's destroyed. There foxes have been spotted in the temple grounds. And so there's evidence of prophetic fulfillment. But always thinking about the temple. Part of that temple will include sacrificial system. And to have a sacrificial system, they're gathering, and we've been showing this over the years, they've been making and storing the implements they'll use in the temple. They are training the priests who will serve in the temple. And they're even doing some practice sacrifices. But one of the things they need is a thing called the ashes of a perfectly red heifer. When I say perfect, it cannot have one white hair on it. And they're still looking, but they're getting increasingly close to finding a red heifer. In history, they found there have been 9 red heifers, and they say the 10th red heifer will be the red heifer when Messiah comes. So they're looking for a red heifer. They keep discovering and then say, oh, it has a mark. Oh, it has a white hair. It doesn't qualify. But when it comes, they're going to have to sacrifice it. But it's not really a sacrifice that's done in the temple. It's done outside the temple. They're going to burn it, and its ashes will typically last for centuries. And it will be mixed with water, and that's for purifying all the elements of the temple. Well, here was a practice, sacrifice, and burning of a not-so-red heifer just to make sure they know how to do it. And they did a study. How much of the ashes is wood? How much does it all work? They went through a trial run just recently. That's how, in other words, they're doing it seriously. For example, when we look at countries that are launching missiles, and, they're talking about a space program, and they start launching missiles, they're investing money, they're investing time, they're investing research, they're getting serious. Well, they're actually practicing, what are we going to do with a red heifer? How are we going to do sacrifices? How are we going to stalk and carefully? I mean, they have scientific research meetings to work through all the details. Here's an example of what might have looked like in the days of Jesus. You see, it's actually on the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley from Jerusalem where they offered the red heifer and then used its ashes. Here's another interesting thing that's happening. In recent days, I've talked about the fact that in the temple, Jews have not been allowed to pray. Last time, when Barb and I were there in 2013, we were warned, do not bring anything of a religious nature up onto the Temple Mount. Now, the temple doesn't exist. The Temple Mount is there. But they said your stuff will be inspected. If they find a hymn book, if they find anything with scripture, you're not allowed on, and you could make everybody in the group not go up. So no Christian stuff, no Jewish stuff. If Jews prayed on the Temple Mount, they'd be arrested for disrupting things. Well, now Jews are praying publicly on the Jewish Mount. Times are changing. And so here's an example. There's actually a video. I won't show it to you, but But there they were gathering and praying. And I don't know if you can see it, but over on the left, there's a police officer just watching the whole thing, making sure everything stays kind of quiet, that you're not going to cause a scene. But Jews are going up in unprecedented numbers to the Temple Mount and praying where the temple is supposed to be. So there's a continuing and a growing interest in the temple. Well, you know, President Trump has been a great friend of Israel, right? He moved the embassy to Jerusalem. He agreed that they should have the Golan Heights should be part of Israeli territory. And as a matter of fact, they're naming a neighborhood up there after him. Well, this came out in the news. Where is it? They're going to have a Trump Tower built on the Temple Mount to honor President Trump. No, this is the Babylon Bee, but all that to say, there's a desire for a temple building, and I don't think it's going to be a Trump Tower. Interestingly, I think have something else that I pointed to. President Netanyahu was speaking about plans for Israel, and he didn't say anything about the temple. So this one rabbi cried out, "Mr. Netanyahu, what about don't forget the temple." And one of his other speakers came along after her words and said, Mr. Netanyahu, what about the temple? The following speaker was Defense Minister Naftali Bennett, who during his speech began to list important locations throughout Israel, which did not include the Temple Mount. At a certain point, Rabbi Glick interrupted him too, adding, "And the Temple Mount." This time, Bennett responded to Glick's comment saying, "You're absolutely right, Yehuda, also the Temple Mount." So here's my point. The Bible says that in the end days, there'll be a temple built, the Jewish temple on the Temple Mount for Jewish sacrifices. Now, 100 years ago, when people talked about Israel returning to the land, everyone said, "You're crazy. Israel hasn't been in the land for centuries. They're not coming back to the land." Now, Israel's back in the land. They're a recognized nation as of 1948. The Bible also says the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, and sacrifices will be restored. It hasn't been built yet, but they are preparing the plans, they're preparing the materials, they're preparing the tools, they're training the priests, and they're talking about and preparing for the temple. And so the Bible says that's going to happen, and you see it there as well. Well, the Bible also says that in the end times, there'll be a one-world government. And one of the things that just as one example that comes to mind is that just kind of shows this government control of the world that struck me is China is teaching pastors in the churches to preach on communism instead of the Bible. In other words, the Chinese government is going to take the church and make it an instrument of their government. And that's just an example of government trying to take control of all things. In the end times, there'll be a world government that controls everything. And I looked and found other examples, for example, of various, like a group that calls for the need for a democratic global government. There's a growing push towards globalism and you've heard this, well, nations shouldn't have borders. It's evil to be nationalist, to say that you're a specific nation. So there's a growing trend towards globalism. And so if a world leader says, "Let's all be one nation," there's a growing trend to accept that. There's also a trend that says, "Not in your life." But just to see, there are those who are pushing, "Let's become one global unity." The Bible also describes that the end times there'll be a one world economy. For example, you see that in Revelation 13, 16 to 18. "And he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For the number is that of a man. His number is 666. Now, here's the main point to notice. It's a controlled economy. You can't buy, sell, trade if you aren't part of the system. And so you have to take the mark of the beast on your hand or on your forehead. On the other hand, taking the mark of the beast is showing loyalty to him. Those who take the mark of the beast are denying Christ. So you have to choose between Christ and following the Antichrist. If you don't follow the Antichrist, you're cut out of the economic system. Well, that's kind of hard to control if everything is built on trade and barter and currency. But we are moving increasingly toward a world-controlled economy. And so some of the articles I came across is Big Tech merging with Big Brother. Kind of looks like it. In other words, there's this growing trend with various technologies helping the government to control all things. For example, in 2020 in China, if the parties planned hold, every footstep, keystroke, like, dislike of social media contact, posting will be tracked by the state and will affect everyone's social rating. Personal creditworthiness or trustworthiness points will be used to reward and punish individuals. And companies, by granting or denying them access to public services like healthcare, travel, employment, according to a plan released last year by the government of Beijing, high-scoring individuals will find themselves in a green channel. They can more easily access social opportunities, with those who take actions that are disapproved of the state will be unable to move a step. So here's the point. There's a growing trend, you see, especially in China right now, of total control economically. And everything you do will be monitored and measured and if to see whether or not you're a good citizen, if you have a good social credit, if you have a good credit worthiness, you can travel, you can get better jobs, you can get better education. If you don't, the doors are shut on you. Stunningly, not only are they, watching your social media, they're even tracking DNA. And that's a troubling trend because DNA is rather personal. And so they're using the newest technology for tracking DNA. Here's an article of a 38-year-old man had his blood drawn, his face scanned, his voice recorded by authorities. They called it a free health check. We were just checking, we just want to check your blood, check your DNA, and keep records of it all. The Chinese are commenting on the fact that their social credit system has blocked 2.5 million people, discredited entities, from buying plane tickets. In other words, 2.5 million people have already been shut out of the system because they don't meet Chinese expectations. I mean, that's how controlling it's getting. So they want to go buy something, you can't. You've been shut out of the system. You want to get on an airplane? You can't. You haven't been a good enough citizen. Now, here's an interesting video someone took inside a Chinese bullet train announcing things, just to give you a picture of what that's like.
Dear passengers, people who travel without tickets or behave disorderly or smoking in public areas will be punished according to regulations. And the behavior will be recorded in the individual credit information system. To avoid any negative record of personal credit, please follow the relevant regulations and help with the orders on the train and at the station.
So here's just a reminder to people. You misbehave, we're tracking everything about you, and it's going to go against you. And so it might, shut down your job, shut down your access. Alabama's football team is part of the system. There's an article about them having a very alarming student tracking system. In a move of shades of 1984, the University of Alabama is tracking students through its Tide Loyalty Points app to see whether they stay for all four quarters of the game. Those who do and download the app will be rewarded with priority access to tickets for the next playoff or for the playoff. Other schools use similar systems. So if you leave the game early, they know you have to download the app. They know if you leave, and then you lose priority for purchasing tickets. Well, that's a small thing. But what kind of shows is just this trend of the ability to track your actions and reward or punish actions based on use of apps and use of your location. Beijing is launching a new rule. Residents must pass facial recognition test to surf the internet. The Chinese regime announced a new rule which requires residents to pass this facial recognition test in order to apply for an internet connection via smartphone or computer. In addition, no cell phone or landline number can be transferred to another person privately. To get a phone, you have to register your facial identity. Any kind of phone. So in other words, if you're going to be a part of the system, you have to surrender where they can track your facial scan. So a lot of the times, so what's the deal? What's the problem with that? It's what they'll do with it. They may make you stay through all four quarters of a Cowboy game. I mean, it could be that bad. But think about it, though. In reality, you spit out gum on the train, points are knocked off. I read an article last time, I think, about at crosswalks that have got a facial recognition system records jaywalkers. And there's a fine every time you jaywalk. Plus, it docks points on your social credit score. I mentioned last year I read an article of someone, they were going to a business meeting, and this fellow was offering, hey, I'll drive you, I'm driving over, do you want to come with me? And she said, no, I need to walk, I need the steps. And he's thinking, well, that's good. Well, she said, I need to do it for my social credit. If I'm not getting enough steps a day, they start docking my credits, and I might have to go back to China. So all those things are growing into this controlled system. want to enter church? Scan your fingerprints and face. Again, we might say, so what? I'm glad and proud of the fact to go to church, but you see what it's doing. It's slowly building registries of who they're going to round up when time comes for persecution. And so you go to go to church, you have to scan your fingerprint and scan your face. I mentioned then also taking saliva samples. Guangdong police take saliva samples amid fears of a nationwide DNA program. So here's a picture of just everyone passing by is everyone in the city. You have to take a swab. Now you could, I'm sure they have good intentions. It's going to be to, promote the health of the land and that sort of thing is what they would say. But you can see it's troubling because it can be used to to expose people. In the end times, the Antichrist will say, if you are not faithful to me, you are locked out of the economic system. And so if you've been scanned going to a church, if you've been scanned leaving a political meeting, if you're not showing up at certain places, then you're locked out of the system. And so the end times say that's going to happen, and we start seeing China is is the largest nation on the earth, and look at the system they're able to and very effectively implementing. And the point is, too, and the technology companies are working with them to make it happen. So here's a mandatory to stopping people in the city and requiring swabs. In this case, everyone on the bus had to get their swab, so everyone's getting checked. And here's a church. Elderly believers are queuing. That's foreign language for getting in a line. They're getting in a line to have their fingerprint taken at church. Now, sometimes, banks will make you do a fingerprint thing to make sure that's really you. And I get that. Why do you need a fingerprint check to get into church? Social credit. Are you behaving in a way that the government wants you to behave? And when they want to, then they can shut you out of systems and make it so you can't go to schools. I talked to one of the ladies that we that has actually been at our church. She and her husband, she was in Hungary during the communist regime, and if you were a believer, you couldn't go to college, you couldn't go to law school as she did, and she tells the story how God miraculously worked where she decided she wasn't going to deny Christ. And God just worked that they never once asked her about that, why she didn't go to the communist youth meetings, and somehow she was the only believer in her law school. But that's the whole point. If you aren't a cooperative system, we're going to shut you out of our system. That's the Antichrist, and you see the trends taking place. Let's look at another category. Speaking of such things. Oh, by the way, here's a, so the controlled economy. Here's just an illustration of how it's, we want it, and we'll surrender to it because it's gradual. But just to show you how effectual it is, where just this, an electronic economy. That's not it.
4 years ago, we started to wonder.
Nope. Well, I don't know what that is.
4 years ago, we started to wonder. What would shopping look like if you could walk into a store, grab what you want, and just go? What if we could weave the most advanced machine learning, computer vision, and AI into the very fabric of a store so you never have to wait in line? No lines, no checkouts, no registers. Welcome to Amazon Go. Use the Amazon Go app to enter. Then put away your phone and start shopping. It's really that simple. Take whatever you like. Anything you pick up is automatically added to your virtual cart. If you change your mind about that cupcake, just put it back. Our technology will update your virtual cart automatically. So, how does it work? We used computer vision, deep learning algorithms, and sensor fusion, much like you'd find in self-driving cars. We call it Just Walk Out technology. Once you've got everything you want, you can just go. When you leave, our Just Walk Out technology adds up your virtual cart and charges your Amazon account. Your receipt is sent straight to the app, and you can keep going. Amazon Go. No lines, no checkout. No, seriously.
In one sense, doesn't that sound attractive? I mean, just walk in, walk out, grab your stuff. But again, recognize you could easily shut that down. That purchase disallowed. You ever go to the thing where I have a problem on the self-checkout. It seems I can never figure out how to do things right. And so I've always wait for assistance. And they have to come in and say, no, you picked that up too quickly. You didn't put it right. You weren't standing on your left foot when you put that thing over there. You can't buy that, in a sense. Well, again, if the government's controlling everything, you could be stopped. No, you can't enter. You don't have the credit, social credit scores. So that's the problem. That easy access can also mean access denied as a way of controlling behavior. Let's talk about this concept of a one-world religion. In Daniel chapter 9, we're told that this Antichrist is coming. He's going to take over the temple. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the Antichrist will set up himself to be worshipped in God's temple in Jerusalem. In Revelation 13:8, it says that the world will have to worship the Antichrist, and all the non-elect will worship the Antichrist. So, with a one-world government is also coming a religion that's tied into that government. but a world religion. And so one of the questions is, how do we see a trend toward that? One trend is a growing the evidence of religious groups, and I'll be focusing, I guess, mostly on Christian, that are willing to set aside Christian distinctives to get along. That longing for approval and unity that will set aside Christian distinctive doctrines, beliefs, and practices. And so here's one that the Urbana is a missions conference sponsored by InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. It's been going on, I think, every 3 years for decades. And it's been considered a key missions influence and sending for many years. Well, in the most recent one in 2018, there was a whole section on the missions conference on homosexual missions. There was a called of God, gay Christians and missions, and it was a whole all about how to be a missionary with a homosexual identity. Well, those two really are contradictory. But here we see a major evangelical missions organization talking about how to compromise in the moral realm to be a part of the big picture. That's the spirit of a one world religion. And here's an article. The Pope seems to overturn the gospel in a state with the Grand Imam, says a church historian. Here is the Pope meeting with the Grand Imam of a key mosque. And the Pope Francis' statement in Abu Dhabi on religious pluralism said he was willed by God. He called that meeting willed by God, and he called Christians and Muslims to enter the ark of fraternity. So let's just be one group, and yet you can't get anything more distinct than Christianity and Islam. But here you have two leaders, in particular, the Pope is a very influential religious leader, saying, hey, let's just be one group. The ark, like Noah's ark. We're all in the ark together. Then here's another one. The World Council of Churches is one of the great, when I say great, maybe I should say large ecumenical movements. And they're calling for, it's a divine calling, human fraternity. Again, unity, unity, unity. Calling for a new social pact. The World Council of Churches urge an international interreligious conference in Abu Dhabi to use their religious influence and institutions to nurture tolerance and respect. And so let's all get together religiously for world unity. Here's an interesting one. Tom Brady. Now that name either is loved or hated in the sports world. He's had a remarkably long football career. He said his wife is a good witch, and she helps him win with altars and stones and mantras. So he attributes his recent success to his wife coaching him and saying, doing witch things over him. He says some of the credit goes to his wife, who performs witchcraft to assist him. Quote, she always makes before every game, she always makes a little altar for me at the game because she just wills it so much. She put together a little altar for me that I can bring with pictures of my kids. I have these little special stones, healing stones, protection stones. She has me wear this necklace and take these drops. She makes, and I say all these mantras. I stopped questioning her a long time. I just did and just shut up and I listen. So in other words, he's crediting his success to the occult, to the fact and this is on public television, but saying my success is attributed to my wife's witchcraft. That's that spirit that's going to be there. This unity to all openness to all kinds of religious expression. Well, one of the things that's described in Revelation 13 is that the Antichrist, an image of him will be made and put in the temple, and it will speak. Maybe I should read that very quickly. Well, here it is in my up here, Revelation 13. said, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast, to the beast, who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So there's this going to be this image in the temple that will be able to speak. Now this is what I'm showing you here is a Japanese Buddhist image that speaks and is worshipped. But it's got a modern take on it. It's robotic. And so you can see where some people are going to be drawn, how modern, how progressive. And that will be the spirit, I think, towards the Antichrist.
Android 관론 마인다니 상케 삼파이 세시 히토비토니
誰にでも分け隔てなく接することができる。であれば、アンドロイドは、まさに、この現代において、お釈迦様が説かれた空の教えを実行できている、と言えるのではないか。最後に、あなたたちに素敵な言葉をプレゼントしよう。ギャーベー、ギャーベー、ハーラー、ギャーベー。
That's going on today. An image that speaks, that's prayed to, that they listen to it for teaching and instruction. That's exactly like what's going to happen. I don't think it'll look like that. But here's a modern culture that's going to have an image that's a center of worship and a giver of instruction. That's exactly what's going on in that culture right now. So all that to say, you know, it sounds bizarre. Oh, really? People are going to go and worship an image in Jerusalem? They're doing it in Japan. And marveling at the benefits of robotics and artificial intelligence. In Venezuela, they have immortalized Chavez and exalting him as a god. There's an article about that. So worshiping a previous leader. We see a court convicting a woman of the crime of being critical of Muhammad. That's number 8. So the world pushing, the government's pushing towards a unified religious system. Now, what is a seminary? You know, seminary is where people go and be trained for ministry, right? And so a lot of times when a church wants a pastor, they'll go to a seminary so they can get someone they can trust to guide them in truth. Well, this is what a seminary had a chapel recently where they confessed to plants. This isn't Babylon B. This was what they posted. I've copied this from this seminary's Twitter feed. Today in chapel, we confessed to plants. Please notice there's no Babylon B or onion. This is not a satire. They're proud of this Union Seminary. Together, we held our grief, joy, regret, hope, guilt, and sorrow in prayer, offering them to the beings who sustain us, but whose gift we too often fail to honor. What do you confess to the plants in your life? That's Union Seminary. Again, their Twitter feed. That's not somebody writing about it. And here's a picture in the chapel. They set up the little place, and this person is confessing, praying to. Notice we held our grief, joy, regret, hope, guilt, and sorrow in prayer to the plant. These are educated religious leaders of a respected seminary, when I say respected, in the liberal world. I think it's in New York. I think Union Seminary is in New York. I could be mistaken. It's in America. So here's my point. Oh, people will never go and worship this image in Jerusalem. Do you see this trend? We want to be out there. We're going to pray to plants. Um, Chinese Christians are throwing away Bibles to raise their social credit score. Again, there's that pressure from the government. And so we want to be cooperative with the world system, so we'll get rid of our Bible. By the way, just an interesting point of trivia, if I can say it. If you were to look at your Bible, and hopefully you have one that's printed somewhere, if you were to look inside of it, I'm willing to... I'm willing to bet, but I don't want to promote gambling from the pulpit. I'm willing to guess that if you looked at a fairly new Bible in your that's printed, you'll see that it's printed in China. But in China, if you have a Bible, it reduces your social credit. So you see, Chinese Christians are throwing away their Bibles to raise their social credit score. Chinese government orders Christians to rewrite the Bible for the era of President Xi. So they don't like some of the things that are in the Bible, and so they're telling the Christians to rewrite their Bible to be more compatible with the Chinese philosophy of life, the communist government. Hitler did the exact same thing. He didn't like how Jewish it was, which is really a problem. If you're going to take this Bible and you hate the Jews, you've got a lot of problems. Well, that's what he did. He tried to fix that by changing the Bible. And so they're telling Christians, get rid of your Bibles, change your Bible to make it more compatible with communist philosophy. They're making a new law that only government-supervised worship is allowed. House churches throughout China are pressured to stop gathering and join state-run churches as religious activities outside them, even at home, are prohibited. For example, it's illegal to talk about Christianity to anyone under the age of 18. You cannot teach your child your faith in Christ. That's illegal. That's where we are right now. They were there this way in China before, when the Maoists came to power and outlawed Christianity. And I've shared a number of years ago, I was at a meeting where a Christian physician from China was there. And he talked about he was arrested for his faith in Christ. His daughter was taken away from him because of his faith in Christ. He had committed the crime of teaching her the gospel. And so after the meeting, I went up to him and said, So what do you know about your daughter? And he just started to weep before me. And said, no, she doesn't know the Lord. And I have very little contact. Government wants to control the religion. This very large, modern government is doing exactly that. A new law, Christians must fully submit to government authority. And so, I mean, they're taking down Ten Commandments. They're posting religious or political symbols in the churches. Also, Russia, the UN, Syria are joining together to build a temple of Baal in Syria. And so, I think I have a picture of that. First of all, this is in California, so of course it's pretty iffy. But here's a poster of a church in San Mateo, California. I mean, I spent a lot of my time growing up in that area. And what it's basically saying is Jesus and Buddha are brothers. One world religion. This is the building that the UN, Russia, and Syria are combining. The terrorists destroyed this Baal temple. And so the UN, Syria, and others are combining together. Let's rebuild it. Let's join together in building a Baal temple for its historic significance. And so again, you just see this idea of religion and government working towards a controlling government. Well, you're going to accuse me of wanting to do the same thing if I keep you here any longer. So we'll stop there for now, and we'll pick up with our next point after we break for a meal.